Today, we are going to have Kai Hiller from BWI here to talk about the German Bundesmessenger. Please give him a warm welcome.
All right. Hello, Matrix Conference. Welcome to my talk about the German Bundesmessenger. So, first a quick word about myself, quick introduction. I'm Kai. Hi. I'm from Karlsruhe, Germany. Studied there, Master of Computer Science with formal verification. And I'm a first contributor to projects, mainly Fedora, GNOME, and Matrix, most notably for this crowd here, in all possible combinations. And I'm currently one of the back-end IT architects for the Bundesmessenger. Yeah, and actually doing my passion for a job now. Down there is my dog Bruno, and he's a good boy. So, what is the Bundesmessenger, you ask? Well, just another messaging app. Thank you for your time. No, that's, of course, not the whole truth. It's a whole solution, and its purpose is the sovereign communication for the German public sector. The Bundesmessenger includes many users. It has municipalities, agencies, fire departments, and notably the German armed forces, the Bundeswehr. It runs on Android, iOS, and the web, and is developed by my employer, the BWI, and of course the wider Matrix community. So first, a small history about how it's came all to be. Back in 2020, some might remember it, some global incident happening made everybody miserable and made everybody stay at home. So habits in how communication worked changed, and people went into the digital, and a big shadow IT emerged. And well, what did people use? Some widely used, well-known, and not so sovereign messaging solution from a big American tech company. So you might have an idea that that's not the best spot to be in, to have your whole country run on somebody else's messaging infrastructure. So colleagues of mine got together and looked at different messaging solutions to find something that can fill that gap and help with the obvious need that is there. So there were some criteria how to evaluate those messaging solutions. One of them, the strong encryption, was a big part. Then there's the open ecosystem, what Matrix provides. It's under an open license, and it has an open community. And what is pretty important for the public sector, it is federated. So it matches how governments and the wider public sector is organized anyways. And they did look at other solutions like Signal, Threema, I think Rocket Chat, but Matrix was, so yeah, they settled on Matrix, and from then on it developed from a first rough prototype into a beta, into a production system, and growing bigger, getting desktop support later, and being deployed over the whole armed forces. And later, shortly before 2024 started, it even rolled out to the broader public. From then on, it went under further professionalization. It's got a new base with the Element X apps and something like call support. So, what do I want to show you in this talk? some specialties, the Bundesmessenger, that makes the Bundesmessenger different from maybe other implementations, you know. First and foremost, the user focus of our project. It's a really important thing from all you know. Second, the controlled federation that is implemented for us. Then I want to show you a short glimpse into what it is to be a downstream from other projects. I want to talk about, for the heterogeneous deployments, the challenges that arise when you're having a broad range of deployments where your messenger is rolled out. Then some security and the hardening we're doing to make it a top-of-the-line product. And last of all, our FOSS engagement. So let's start with our first topic, user focus. Users are very important for us because, yeah, if we don't make them happy, they don't use our app. Then they go back to whatever they used before. So we really want to prioritize that. And what users looking at first? Well, the apps. Our apps are simple and familiar and keep a strong focus on users. And you might say, well, they look quite bare bone. Yeah, they have less features than the upstream app, but that is by design. What we have is more polished, integrated, and tested so that everything the user sees is usable and simple for them. This ties into the wider area of accessibility. We strive to provide universal design. So that means everything that is helpful for somebody with some kind of disability has usage for a wider range of persons. So easy navigation, self-explanatory design, and readable contrasts just help everybody. So let's please do that. Our user base is really broad and heterogeneous. We've got young users, old users. We've got some power users, but also disabled people and people working in the field and office workers. So imagine getting all that together and everybody being able to use that app. Now, of course, we don't just wing it and eyeball our solutions, but we are doing user testing in our Bundesmessenger usability lab. There we prompt and record users' actions. We perform interviews, and the results drive back into our development. So it's a very empirical, data-driven process on how we reach our designs. Just to give you a little example, you might know those little avatar logos you find in many apps where you have your profile picture. And our participants had an easy task. Just go to the settings and change one option. And they literally clicked everywhere. They went into chats, went into like profile pictures from people and everywhere but onto that logo. And after some experiments and different design choices, we settled on the gear icon. We conducted the experiments again, and people went straight there and found it in seconds. So you wouldn't think, as technical persons, that should be a problem. But yeah, it was, and we found it and made the app better. So the next thing I want to talk to you about is the controlled federation. In contrast to the public matrix network, the Bundesmessenger operates a private federation. So not everybody can talk to everybody without constraints. Our implementation is built on MSC 1383, server-side ACLs, access control lists. And you can think about it a bit like, for example, Mastodon operates. There, every instance admin can decide whom to federate with and with whom not. So It gives Bundesmessenger admins the freedom to choose their federation peers and give them the control over what communication is desired and which communication isn't. I want to give a special note on the spec compatibility here. That's important for us. Federation with the public network is possible. On a technical level, that's no problem. But for now, we decided not to do it because it has a bunch of new challenges we have to address. Talk to the Matrix Foundation about trust and safety. That's another can of worms one has to open, but it's technically there. Oh, look, there's Bruno again. And he's on a different instance, and we are federating. You can see it on the two small circles there. And the room we're in is federated too. This little symbol is a very clear and easy to grasp indication. And now you might say, well, that was not so hard. And thank you. That's exactly what we're striving for. This symbol distinguishes between users on your own home server, it's not there, and users on another home server, the symbol is there. And for rooms, it means it has potential users from other instances. It's shown on all places where user avatars or room avatars are shown. And it wasn't like that from the start. It took multiple rounds of user testing to get there. But I think it's a pretty easy to grasp concept. So yeah, we're proud of that. For this feature, we didn't end with a pure design pattern, but also went for user education. So in the first round, we announced that federation is coming. Something is changing. You can talk to people in other departments. We ran articles and provided help sites so people could inform themselves and get to know the feature. And as a last step, we provided in-app help and notifications. For example, this welcome carousel you can see here. The first pane tells you, hey, there's federation now. The second pane tells you, well, there's a special symbol that signals that federation is happening. And the third one gets a bit more into the details, that it's per room and that you as an administrator can decide on how it works. So before I get to the next topic, can I get a quick show of hands? How many of you heard about the Bundesmessenger before this talk? Wow, that's like everybody. I'm happily surprised. Okay, cool. So I want to talk to you about being a downstream. Well, we've got quite some projects going on, and I'd like to categorize them in roughly three parts. First of them, we use projects completely unmodified. Those are Synapse, the Matrix Authentication Service, Signal, and some smaller components. We take upstream as it is, take the code, put them in our containers, and we're done. Then we have our second category, our in-house projects. That's what we are developing for ourselves. That's the Helm chart for deploying infrastructure as code. The admin portal for web-based management, and a container factory for building containers. The third category is interesting because there we are downstream from Element. So we have the Bundesmessenger Android, iOS, and web, and the Rust SDK. And let's look in a bit more detail here. So the Android and iOS version, they are based on Element Android and Element iOS. And currently, we are flying betas for the Element X-based versions there. The Bundesmessenger web, it has Element web as base. Currently, no X immediately there. And a special case is the Rust SDK. So because all those, the Android and the iOS app depend on the Rust SDK, and it's tightly integrated. We fork that too, so we can centralize and adapt it for the features we're implementing. So I said before, well, we have less features, but some of them we also added. So let's show you some of them. The first one is we provide our users with a My Notes room. So you, again, as technical people might say, well, of course, I can open a room with myself and I can paste notes in there. But what the problem? It's another use case. You might think of it, but many people don't. And so we give a slight hint that everybody can enjoy the benefits of just dropping some notes or files for themselves and help with file sharing over devices. Then there's a little feature that's Pair Room User Roles, and that's just a little text tag you have beside your username inside a room. So what is it used for? Imagine you have a room with developers, and you have your product owner and your Scrum Master in there. Then they are tagged with those labels for this room. So you've got a more intuitive way of seeing who has that role. We, from the start, require backups and entering your encryption key. So no user ever comes in the situation that they say, oh, I logged out of my device, I can't access my text anymore. So that we made mandatory. We're doing custom localization of the strings in our app. That's because we've got a special audience, a targeted audience, and they are used to different words and phrases, and the addressing is different. So it was enough to do a separate translation effectively. There are server maintenance messages, just some, hey, we're having a downtime or something is happening on our side. So the administrative part can talk to the users. And last not but least, we've got notifications only during working hours. So does it shut up when you're calling it a day? Yeah. The Bundesmessenger is a working tool after all. It's meant for you to help you in your work, but you don't want to have it nagging you when you're in your free time. From the developer perspective of a downstream, we've got around 10% of custom code in our apps, and they're doing monthly rebases to keep up with our upstream element bases of the apps. We do strict modularization of our code for maintainability and have a system of inline documentation for aiding Git merges. So when your code doesn't fit after some upstream update, everybody knows what they're supposed to do and how the result has to look. We have a strong focus now from back away from the legacy apps to the X apps and support them and also engage in upstream collaboration there. All right, heterogeneous deployments. The Bundesmessenger is open, versatile, and federated, and you've got quite different kinds of deployments where it's supposed to run, and each has its custom challenges and requirements. Here, three rough categories one can open. The first one is one-click deployments. So imagine your small city wanting the Bundesmessenger, and now your administrator has to do the job of spinning it up. And you're in luck. We prepared for that. We pre-configure our deployment with industry best practices for governments. And yeah, you can actually get it up in a day in a production system. So that's pretty cool. The second one is the software as a service deployment. That's a different kind of beast. You don't want to put it in your basement, but actually pay somebody to host it for you. And what's there is the deployment must be highly automated. Somebody like the telecom who offers this doesn't just want to handle it like pets, but just want to click a button and have it spinning up. And there's a hard separation between the people managing the servers and the hosts and the administrators managing the instance. So there, some care has to be taken. The third one is on-premise, big on-premise deployments, like the very professional ones, like for the Bundeswehr. It's configured by domain experts. There are many people really knowing what they're doing and having very specific requirements on how everything has to be wired up. And that requires to provide those very specific ways of doing it and have the flexibility for that. A bit more about the software as a service use case. For one, we have the admin portal, one of our developments, as a web-based management of home servers. You can imagine that's pretty important if you don't have access to configuration files on the host. How do I configure my server so it does that what I want to do? And yeah, you can do that web-based. It's very important for software as a service operations. And it's developed in conjunction with new APIs so we can have a broader configuration range. The other part is cloud technologies. We are cloud native with Kubernetes and Helm, just doing everything to industry standards and best practices and trying to push it a bit. Like the applications we are packaging, well, you can take some old application, just put it into a container and call it a day. But maybe you want to make use of Kubernetes concepts like secrets. Maybe you don't want some volume mounts flying around and something like that. And we also try to modify the application, so say provide those interfaces. This provides a high degree of automation and also improves reliability and security. All right. So for the next part, our security hardening. As I said, we follow cloud infrastructure best practices and perform regular security audits, doing pen testing, doing some red teaming. We've got network policies restricting which network access is allowed. Only known connections are given any priority, any allowance. And yeah, a special pet peeve of mine working on that one is having no secrets, passwords, keys in config files. So really making sure nothing gets leaked and we have clear and controlled interfaces of how secret management works. We do have a formal security disclosure process. So if you're finding anything, if you poke at the Bundesmessenger, please get in touch. We are happy to hear from you. And for some more specific security measures, there's container hardening and app hardening. I want to talk a bit more about. So containers is one thing. We do quite a lot on that front already. We've got a hardened build infrastructure and building custom containers for everything we use in the Bundesmessenger. They are rootless, so privilege escalation is harder. Use immutable file systems, so nothing can also in the container do any harm. We provide bill of materials, including the source code and the concrete versions of everything we use. So it's observable and can be reproduced. For our containers, we do regular rebuilds, so all the dependencies are updated and any CVEs are quickly gone that way. We do routinely do CVE monitoring for anything that might slip, and general hygiene like stripping and linting everything. So, on the app part, app hardening, most things are done upstream, but we've got some things where we think it has some more benefits. As for our general server and deployment side, we also do regular pen testings on the apps, and we only ever allow rooms to be encrypted, never doing anything unencrypted for a while now. Then there's something I would call cautious OS integrations. We do have a threat that data just leaks too simply out of the app, so we restrict like screenshots and sharing and this kind of things a bit. Then there's caching. Apps do cache what they download from the server, but there's a trade-off between performance and access and what an attacker can access when they're on your device. So we have some more restricting caching policies. And yeah, pretty small thing, the PIN code. Just somebody gets your phone when it's unlocked, they still can't access the app. So some hardening on that part. The Bundesmessenger can handle classified information up to the level of restricted. And one of the main policies it implements is the IT Grundschutz. It's developed by the Federal Office of Information Security, the German Central IT Security Agency. But those guidelines are often in need of interpretation. So there's a group of government sector people willing to take those very, very generic requirements and put them into technical operationable rules. And after having done this, after deriving those rules, we even put them into Caverno rules, so you can automatically check it for static analysis and runtime validation. Besides those indirect paths, we also look at the directives and work them out in our whole deployment. You can look at that. It's on OpenCode, the link down there. Every Caverno rule we write is open for everybody else to consume. So, then I want to talk to you about our force engagement. Free and open source software is important. Public money, public code is something we do live. There are different areas where we are being active. So the first one is we're partnering a lot. We're cooperating with small and big players in the Matrix ecosystem and working with them together to improve our product. We do our own development, as you have seen, in-house development of multiple Matrix projects. And we're providing substantial financial contributions to the whole Matrix development. The last part, there's our spec work. we are active on improving the spec to better fit the needs of our users. So we are giving back. Everything we develop is put under a free and open source license. And what is quite special is not only application source code, but also our infrastructure as code deployments. So you don't find that everywhere, but we're doing it fully. The code we are writing is hosted on the German Open Code platform. So there we are sovereign too. And yeah, if you want to try it out, get your own Bundesmessenger demo running in minutes. That's the link to our Helm chart. You can just spin it up in some Kubernetes clusters and see how it goes. Please hack with it, try it out. Please take a look. So, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Matrix contributors. I'm very too happy to be at a conference like this and have everybody help make such an amazing product possible. So, if you want to know more about the Bundesmessenger, there's our open our Matrix room, and you can follow us on LinkedIn behind those two links. So thank you very much, and I'm open for questions.
Thank you so much, Kai. All right. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions from the floor for our speaker?
I've got beer mats if anybody's interested.
Is it possible to use the Bundesmessenger app with an arbitrary home server or Matrix account?
No, that's not possible. We do check if it's registered. So you have to get it centrally approved first, yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was wondering how you handle the video communication within your system.
Yeah, we are working on that. We do have complete demo systems running with that, and it will be deployed soon. I think you need the microphone to ask more.
How about the users? Do they want and need the video communication?
Yeah, that's one of the top priorities for what we're asking. So okay. We do have community managers that do query what is requested on features, and they're like tidying it up and recording what's happening. And yeah, I think it's the number one thing everybody wants. Can we please get rid of this old proprietary messaging calling system? So, yeah.
So we're all waiting for Matrix 2.0?
Won't be that long, I think.
Can you provide some concrete examples where the Bundesmessenger is used today?
Well, it is used in our own company and for the whole armed forces of Germany. So every soldier can get on the Bundesmessenger today. There are also some bigger towns. Is it okay to... So I know of Stuttgart and Munich that are actually using it. So the oh, well, how is it translated? The print service certification authority, like. Yeah, and very many small towns, actually. So we do have a lot of contact to administrators, yeah, working all over Germany on getting it for their, like, local public administration running.
So I have two questions. I'm not sure I understood, how do you bridge the different deployments that you have for Matrix? That's my first question, and I have another that is not linked to the first one.
Okay.
That is, what is your economical model? Like, do you sell stuff?
All right, so let's get to the first question. Well, Matrix is a federated protocol by design, and it's more the problem of actually restricting the cases where you don't want it to federate. So federation happens with ACLs on a technical level. It's a room-based per server allow list. So it, does that already answer your question? No. Okay. For the second part, the economic model, I would say there are two parts there. The main part is we are a public service, so it's not like we have to make up all the money we are using to provide the service. It's for the public. It has its own benefit, and it's paid by all the taxpayers. The other part is we do have some income about our software as a service deployments from third parties.
And we have a couple questions from the Matrix room. One is, will your video integration be based on LiveKit and Matrix RTC?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's element call what we're using.
Brilliant. Okay. They also say, can't we download the Android client and extract the whitelisted servers?
Well, no. I'm not sure if the person know what they're saying. Maybe they're teasing, but no, you can't.
Any more questions?
Hello, thank you for the talk. And I have a question about installation that use classified information. How do you do that? What kind of requirements on the services, on the devices that use this kind of installation do you impose?
There's a whole set of requirements all over the place. It's based on the IT Grundschutz in Germany, and it goes through all design decisions, really. So maybe we can catch up later a bit more.
Yeah. One in the back.
So how do you manage or restrict the federation? So who is the authority who decides who can join? So where is the central in the distributed Matrix protocol?
There isn't. So everybody decides for themselves. Each instance administrator can choose whether to federate or don't.
And could even decide to open it completely?
I think there's nothing stopping it at the moment.
Apart from the apps not being able to connect to other Matrix instances.
Yeah. The apps do have some checks in that forbid it at the moment.
Thanks.
But you could write your own or something. Don't, please.
Any more questions? Right, okay, another round of applause, please.
Thank you.